Welcome back if you've just tuned in. You're about 30 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Guest today is Andy Caldwell for this final segment, and then following we'll do the weekly multiple listing update. We have a caller who had been trying to get through. I'm sorry for the technical delay in getting you on the air. Good morning. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I was just listening to you guys talking. It was a very interesting subject regarding the affordable housing, especially, you know, with the disaster back east. I had another question, though. I'm an avid reader of Andy Caldwell's column, and I've been wondering, because he's always touched upon in the past about the salary of the county workers in Santa Barbara County, and I've been waiting for a response regarding the recent pay increase that the county supervisors have given themselves. I noticed that hasn't been touched upon, and I was curious as to why.
I actually supported that one because I didn't think it was that much, and these guys are more like full-time employees compared to other government jurisdictions where it's a part-time job. So we didn't mind them getting a COLA, because that's all it related to. It wasn't so much a raise as a COLA that they hadn't got for years. Other than that, I do believe that not all of the employees in Santa Barbara County are overpaid, especially in terms of their benefit packages. And that's systematic of state employees throughout the state. And, of course, one of the things we're going to be talking about is the ballot propositions for the that Schwarzenegger put on here. A lot of people don't know how close California's state government is to bankruptcy, that some of those retirement benefit programs have multi-tens of billions of dollars in unfunded liability. Santa Barbara County's unfunded liability at one time was $200 million, with a $1.2 billion retirement fund for some 4,000 employees and retirees. So that's kind of the context. We believe giving those guys a couple thousand bucks for a COLA is not that much in the greater scheme of things.
Thank you. We had to say goodbye to our caller. He was at a cell phone, and it was annoying my ears. It was kind of bad static. So I'm sorry we had to cut you off, but I hope that answered your question. Thanks for calling 564-1290. Before we get into some of the voting, I'm glad you touched on that. I just also, just to mention this, there was an article in the paper yesterday, the news press, on the Poinsettia clan fighting to sell to developers down in Encinitas. And they had cut a deal back in 1994, and now they want to change the deal, and they want to convert the ag land because it's not paying for them to work the ag land. You touched on it earlier. So it'll be interesting. I'd like to get a guest on that to actually discuss what's going on down in Encinitas.
Well, Mark, the bottom line is ag land in Carpinteria is now going for $200,000 an acre. Ag land in the North County, if it's anywhere near an urban area, can go for over $100,000 an acre. Nobody can afford to farm land that costs that much money. You can't afford to do it. And so something's got to give.
Well, and as long as the people who own it are willing to continue
you can't,
farming,
though. You can't afford it. If you have to buy the land new,
right,
and or pay the inheritance taxes to keep it based on the current assessed value, you can't afford to farm. You'll just go into bankruptcy.
You had mentioned, we didn't talk about the new environmental regulations, the impact on Santa Barbara County.
Which ones?
Well, I know you had some in mind, because I wrote down this note, and I figured this was a good segue.
Well, you know, the bottom line is in Carpinteria, greenhouses are now restricted, and that was one of the only land uses that can carry the cost. In the North County, you have the tiger salamander restrictions could affect 180,000 acres of North County ag land that could be suitable for more crops. And so we've got all sorts of problems abounding throughout the county. We have these uniform rules coming up where the county is trying to further restrict the ability of farmers and ranchers to build coolers, wineries, greenhouses, and what have you. And that's where the farmers actually make their money. They don't make their money just growing the crop. They make their money packaging that crop for sale or processing it for sale. And the county's continually strangling their ability to do that, to intensify the land use. And this is what the urbanites have to come to grips with. That land that they look at and they like to look at is not open space. It's somebody's business. And as they, as the urbanites help drive up the cost of the land, they make farming untenable. And so we believe they got to lighten up on the land use restrictions in the rural areas to allow these guys to build some houses here or there, or to build wineries or greenhouses or vegetable or strawberry coolers.
What was your comment, just to wrap it up with the split of Santa Barbara County again? What did you mention, that the people in North would rather be poor and free?
Right.
So you don't think, what are the odds, if you mentioned Vegas, it sounds like you're a gambling man.
No.
What are the odds for the split of Santa Barbara County?
I don't think it's very high, unless, like I said, the South County gets a burr under their saddle, because the North County, they're not oppressed as much anymore since Firestone came into office. They're starting to be treated with a little bit of respect, and they're starting to get more their fair share of resources and attention from county government.
So they might settle down, but you know, you vote all the time. You think the balance on the Board of Supervisors, because of the voting now, will stay in this pattern?
In the year 2001, the 3rd District should have been shoved up almost entirely to the North County. That Gail Marshall would have been a painful memory more than anything else. The bottom line is they gerrymandered. And see, this gets back to the bar. The South County can't have it both ways. By gerrymandering the 3rd District to include Isla Vista, they gave the coastline, west of Goleta there, to the North County. If they would have drawn the lines fairly, that whole coastline would have been in the 2nd District, not the 3rd District. They can't have it both ways. They gerrymandered the districts, and now they're complaining about the resultant effect.
You know, let's jump into, I was going to ask about Arnold Schwarzenegger's top picks, 74, 75, 76, 77. And by the way, I don't want to, you know, drop a lot of names, but I got a call from the senator from Arizona.
McCain.
What's his name? Yeah.
John McCain.
John McCain called me to discuss my vote. I was, you know, I was going to play it on the air, but we just didn't have time to call. I saved it on my voicemail. So this Prop 77, which is, I think, the one that Judge Wapner is on the television
saying, yeah, he's not exactly Supreme Court material.
Yeah, that's the best they could do. Vote no, vote no, vote. I'm going to vote yes just because of him screaming at me, vote no. Prop 77 is for the fair election districts, and you were just discussing our local districts in the 3rd District and gerrymandering to include Isla Vista. What do you think the Prop 77, first of all, it sounds like you'd vote yes on it.
I'm going to vote yes on all of Schwarzenegger's props.
Now, why? Now, what will Prop 77, redistricting Prop 77 will benefit whom? What's going to happen with
that? I think it benefits all Californians, because right now we have a one-party system in the state of California. The state Senate and the state assembly are one-party houses. Independents and Republicans can't even get anything out of committee, let alone to a vote, let alone to the governor's desk. And that's why we're in the state we're in, and why you know, these are all related to each other as far as the union power, the fact that the legislators just have glad-handed money. The state unfunded liabilities, Mark, have gone up from $10 billion to over $100 billion in the last 4 or 5 years, because these politicians in Sacramento are selling us out to the highest bidder, which happens to more often be the very government employee unions. And this is one of the things I'm glad about the news press shining the light on, this Service Employees International Union for buying off all these city councilmen and city council candidates in Santa Barbara. All of this stuff is related. You have the same problems in Santa Barbara that we have in Sacramento.
Okay, let's go through. You're going to vote yes on these, and I just want to know if go through each one, and you tell me if you think it'll pass. 74 is the accountability in the classroom. I think he wants to extend the number of years before tenure is awarded.
I wish it went further and eliminated tenure altogether.
Do you think it will pass?
Probably not. See, I'm not a good gauge of these because, Mark, to tell you the truth, it doesn't matter how we vote here. It's San Diego, Orange County, Los Angeles County, and the Bay Area.
Oh, I just want you to make a prediction here, and we'll just see how. So probably not on the accountability. 75 is vote yes on the paycheck protection.
Right.
I'm not even sure I remember what that is.
Well, the bottom line is there's a lot of – I used to ask the question – this is kind of rhetorical and offensive. But I used to ask the question that what does, let's say, a redneck steel worker and a left environmental fringe person have in common?
Oh, wait. Repeat that.
A redneck steel worker – your construction worker and a far left environmentalist fringe person have in common.
They both own a house.
They're both Democrats. Other than that, they have nothing in common. And the point is most, if you interviewed most redneck construction workers on most issues, they're going to be conservative on their issues, but their union is completely liberal and democratic.
Okay. Now, that was a long way to get around to remind me what 75 was. That's the one where they want the people to vote. So you're going to vote yes on that?
Yeah.
Do you think, is that another probably not on the pass?
It's hard for me to gauge. I'm going to say probably not because the unions have been beating these things up for so long.
Okay, we're running out of time. We've got to finish the next two. Prop 76 is balance the state budget. Do you think that'll pass?
I'm hoping that one does pass. I'm hoping people will recognize that we're in the fiscal crisis we're in, and I'm hoping 77 will pass, which is a fair election district.
Well, I heard all these ones about, they're just killing them on the commercials. Three judges are going to decide, three judges.
Right.
And then the follow-up commercial with McCain was three judges make the recommendation, and then the voters decide.
They lie. The people that are against Arnold's propositions are lying about every single one of them.
Well, I don't claim to be a political pundit, and certainly I'm speaking from a position of complete ignorance. But, I voted for Arnold, and I'm going to vote for his top four propositions and throw the dice and hope that he can fix it. I want to say thank you.
Well, thank you.
Andy Caldwell from CoLab. The final vote, another question is whether or not we will have the homeless vote with no addresses. I don't know if you read about that in the paper, but some people wanting to use the fig tree as an address. And I don't know what the fig tree is zoned. Is it zoned ag, single family?
Hey, there's your affordable housing.
Well,
maybe they can turn that into the state as part of their plan.
They could condominiumize the tree. They could sell branches, or the question is how many people can use that as an address to vote. I don't know. But we'll see what happens tomorrow. I guess this radio station is going to be covering all the election results all day and all night. So, Andy, maybe you could tune in. Andy Caldwell, CoLab, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time. Also, so we'll come back for the fourth segment with our weekly multiple listing update. I do want to wish a couple of birthdays this week. Joni Mitchell turned 62. She's redoing Pave Paradise and put up a parking lot and titled Pave Paradise and put up a retirement community. Joni Mitchell turned 62. Kalisa Flockhart turns 41, which actually matches her weight finally. And Demi Moore turns 43. I won't even make that joke. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.